Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
Stand to your feet as we worship together today. We serve an unstoppable God, and He is here in this place today ministering to us. So let's thank Him and pour out our hearts and worship to Him.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form.
Nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Stop. morning, everyone. Go ahead and have a seat. So great to see you here today. Thanks for worshiping with us here this morning at Peckway Church. My name is Scott Munson, and I'm the worship pastor here, and it is fantastic to be here with you today and worshiping with you. I'm going to give you a moment to look inside of your bulletin today, and you're going to find a gray connection card. Would you go ahead and take that out online? You're going to find an online connect link there in the chat window. But this is that's your digital connection card there. But we ask everyone to fill this card out, whether this is your first time or you've been here many, many times. And if you're a regular attender, you simply just write your first and last name. And those here in person, you can drop this card in the gray box on your way out. And then also, you'll have this card a little bit later. We're gonna talk today about this series, about a legacy still. We're still talking about that. And today we're going to talk about the need for spiritual fathers. And so, you know, we've been talking about that. I want to share the verse that Pastor Jerry shared last week. And I think it's a challenge for us, a challenge that we can step up to. It said, "But with each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God." And that's 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. And, you know, we've been hearing about how we can be a spiritual parent to someone else. Now, you might be thinking parent as a kid, right? But I think even as adults, we still need people in our lives who are like fathers or mothers who still help us as we struggle with things, as we have questions. And so, but it's very important. So we need each other. But I know specifically we're talking about kids coming up, helping the next generation as they face this world that we live in with the questions they have. So let's take a moment, turn our attention to the screens, and then we'll continue our worship.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd. I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd. I'll need you to remind me that I should obey God. That I should obey God. I'll act like I don't have any problems.
I'll need you to show me how to share my struggles with others.
I want to have a lot of money so I can buy what I want.
I'll need you to teach me that my things belong to God.
That my things belong to God.
I'll struggle with my looks and appearance.
I'll need you to remind me that God wonderfully made me.
I'll tend to think about myself before others.
I'll need you to teach me that the last will become first.
The last will become first.
The last will become first.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am.
I'll need you to show me how to learn from God's wisdom.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll need you to show me how to speak the truth.
In love.
In love.
I'll look for happiness in many different places.
I'll need you to show me that joy is
found in following Christ.
I'll find myself stuck in bad habits.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
I'll need you.
To point me toward Christ when no one else will.
To point me toward Christ when no one else will.
And we each have a story, a testimony is what we would call it, but our story, how we came to know Jesus. And it's that simple that we can share with kids, we can share it with friends, neighbors, whoever it might be. So would you stand as we sing about that this morning, that our story, we've been redeemed, we're called children of God, and we're thankful for that today.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be. Of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell
told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom. There was one for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of a grace that is greater than all my sin, of which justice was served, and when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Our story could include pain, it could include victory, amen. And many times it includes fear, but we have faith in Jesus, and our faith is greater than the fears that we face, because Jesus has overcome, just like we just sang in that last song. So let's sing about the peace, the joy that we have in Jesus this morning. Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. He's not done with what he started, and he's not done until it's good. Hello, peace, hello, joy, hello, love, hello, strength, hello, hope, it's a new horizon. Hello, peace, hello, joy, hello, love. Hello, strength, hello, hope, it's a new horizon. If you're ready for a breakthrough, just open up and just receive. What he's pouring out is nothing you've ever seen. You've ever seen. So hello. my future. You are, you are. And sickness is not my story. You are, you are. Heartbreak's not my home. You are, you are. And death is not the end. You are, you are. Fear is not my future. You are, you are. Sickness is not my story. You are, you are. Heartbreak's not my home. You are, you are. Death is not the end. You are, you are. So hello peace, hello joy, hello
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Sing it again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. This morning for being your living hope today, that we can come in this place with freedom to worship Him, to thank Him today for His peace, His goodness, His mercy, and His kindness. We thank you today, Jesus, and we praise you. Would you bow with me as we sing, as we pray together? Father, we thank you that you are good, that you are kind, that you are merciful. And today, as we've come to this place, Father, as we've sang about how nothing can stop you, nothing can overcome you, Father. You are eternal. You are immutable, not changing ever, Father. And Lord, that we have a story to tell, a story of redemption, a story of love, a story that's not over, a story that you will continue to write. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, we do not have to walk in fear because of who you are, Jesus. Because we have a living hope, Father. We have you, our rock of salvation. And Lord, today, maybe the foundation of many in this room, many who are listening online, that foundation has been built on something other than you. And Lord, we know, God, that chaos can ensue. And maybe those here today or online, they don't have that relationship with you, so they don't know about this firm foundation we have in you, Jesus. Father, as we talk about our father wounds, the things, God, or it could be mother, it could be it's our parents, Father, but who did their best. But God, many times we're wounded. But Lord, we can come alongside those with the gospel in hand and help take those steps of faith and be a father to the fatherless. And so thank you today, Jesus, for your word. I pray for Jerry as he comes now and he brings your message, Father. And Lord, may we yield to you in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, worship team. And Scott's absolutely right, as he said and as he prayed. The reality is we're really in this series, and welcome if you're here for the very first time. We're glad that you're here. But in this series, what we're looking at is our legacy. And for the last 3 weeks, this week we're going to kind of wrap things up. We've been looking at the legacy that we receive from our fathers. And we've been talking about the significance, the importance of fathers and the impact on our life. And that's not to diminish the role of mothers. In fact, that's a whole nother series that should be done and will be done. But we're really looking right now at the impact of fathers. But there's only part of that, because the other side of that is what Scott prayed, and that is the legacy we've inherited from our family of origin. And that's really what we're going to pick up next week with, and spend about 5 or 6 weeks in the legacy that we have inherited from our parents, and if it was positive, how do we pass that along? And if it's not, how do we change it? How do we alter it? How do we leave a legacy that we could be proud of? Because as we saw in the video, the reality is our sons, our daughters, boys and girls, teens, young adults are looking to us to leave them a positive legacy, to guide them, direct them, to guard them, protect them. The reality is they're looking for us, those of us who go before them, and maybe it's only one step in front of them, but those of us who go before them to help them set them up to be successful in life. And so I just want to pick that up with that thought in mind, kind of context set. I want to share with you, because I began the series a couple weeks ago, really preparing for this in earnest 3 or 4 weeks ago. I came across a story about a young man by the name of George Grimwade. And what's unique about George, and I'll tell you in a second, but George grew up without his father present in his life, his biological father. And George, when I just first learned about him, was playing football for Stanford University as an offensive lineman. But as I said, his father had never been a part of his life. His biological father hadn't been a part of his life. And that role had been filled in his life since the second grade by his stepfather, a wonderful man, a man George greatly admired. In fact, so much so that George decided to honor him because his stepfather did not have any sons of his own. To honor him, he decided to change his last name. But being a son, he decided he wouldn't just do it and announce it to his dad or share it with his dad. Instead, he said, you know what, I'm going to wait until family weekend at Sanford, and then I'm going to bring dad and I'm going to share it with him. And fortunately for us, they videotaped it. So I want you to take a look at here is George sharing with his dad his name change.
Football player George Grimwade wanted to honor his stepfather, Michael Musto, who didn't have anyone else to carry on his family name. So his stepdad became a part of his life when George was just in second grade. So George went to court last month, had his name legally changed to Musto. He had it stitched on his football jersey, and then he decided to surprise his stepdad with the news.
You know how much I love you, right?
Yeah.
And how I always, like, treasure the time I have with you.
Yeah.
Now you're my world. I got my last name changed. I'm not George Grimwade Musto. Look at my jersey. I love you so much, Dad.
All right. That's...
Okay, that one goes into the
Hall of Fame.
George told his stepdad he's grateful that he gets to carry on his name and said, I hope I treat it well. I hope I treat it well. Anyway.
Oh, Alex. Okay. That was one of your best.
Yeah. Wasn't that good? And after the video went viral a couple years ago, George said this. I want to read it to you. He said, I just wanted his legacy to live on forever. I don't want it to end with him. And I want to just suggest it won't. But it isn't because he changed his last name. It will live on. His legacy won't die because the hole in his life, George's life, that his stepfather filled for him. That's what made the difference. But I raise that because the reality is for some of us, many of us perhaps, haven't had that hole filled, have we? Or if we had it filled, it wasn't filled in a healthy way. For example, I want to share a true story with you. After a Sunday morning message where the pastor shared with the congregation steps he was taking as a father to invest and protect his daughter, a woman walked up to the pastor after the service and said, I wish my father had done that for me, but he was too busy sexually abusing me. And folks, that wrecked the pastor. And we get that, don't we? We understand why it wrecked the pastor, because the reality is we understand that the ways our fathers can, if you will, damage us, harm us, put unnecessary destructive baggage in our life goes well beyond physical or sexual abuse. For example, they can be damaging in our lives by the expectations they place on our lives to do more, to be more, to measure up. It can be damage they do in our lives because of the views they pass on to us about God and religion, about people and politics and prejudices, about money and success. They could do damage to our life because they divorced our mother and in the process abandoned us. They could do damage in our life because dad was cold and distant and unloving toward us. Or maybe on the other hand, because Dad was harsh and temperamental and impatient with us, that left us living, it felt like, constantly on eggshells. Or still another option is Dad did damage to us because Dad lived in fear. He was weak and passive. And because of that, chaos reigned in our home because other family members were allowed to say and do just about anything unchecked by Dad. And as a result, destructive things took place in the home. Now that's the reality. That's just the reality that we step into as men when we become fathers, that risk, that danger of doing damage. But that reality should not surprise us, let alone shock us, if we're familiar with God's Word, because time and time again in the Old Testament particularly, the Bible talks to us about the sins of the fathers impacting the children, about doing damage to the children. I'm going to give you one example from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I'm reading it to you from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. He says, I hold parents responsible for any sins they pass on to their children, to the third and yes, even to the fourth generation. But I'm lovingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. In other words, what really God is saying through Moses, and let me give you a bit of analogy. It's like someone choosing to drink and drive and then crash their vehicle into ours. The reality is what Moses is communicating to us, really God through Moses communicated to us, that our father's choices and actions can truly have tragic effect in our lives. Effects that leave us scared and scarred and sometimes even crippled for life or even worse. And the stories about that, you know them and I know them, they're really endless. Let me just share a couple with you that I came across this week. It's a story about a man who, as a boy, was put in a medically induced coma. And the doctors told the family they honestly don't know if the boy will survive, if he'll recover. But he began to respond to the treatments, and miraculously, he came out of the coma. And when he did, his father was there at his bedside. And the little boy was frightened and disoriented, so he did what most little boys would do. He reached out for his father, hoping his father would hold him. But his father stepped back and said, "You're not that sick." And folks, the reality is that response from his father marked that man's, who at that time was a boy, the rest of his life when it came to intimacy and care and compassion, experiencing it and sharing it. Well, what about the woman who, as a six-year-old, was told by her father to stand on the edge of her bed, and then he backed away a few steps, and he said to her, "Now jump, honey, and I'll catch you." And so a bit hesitantly at first, she hunkered down, and then she jumped, and as she was in the air, he stepped aside and let his daughter fall to the ground. And shocked and in tears, the little girl looked at her father and said, "Daddy, why didn't you catch me?" To which her father said, "Because I wanted you to learn to never trust anyone." And the lesson was learned. Because she said from that point in her life, she struggled to trust anyone, including God, for the rest of her life. Now, folks, I know when I share those kind of stories and where we began this morning with the video, that it brings up for some of us painful memories of how our own fathers have failed us or inflicted pain in our life. And I want to say to you, I truly am sorry for that. That was not my intention of doing any of this. The reason I share it, though, folks, and I took that risk, even though I know it would cause pain for some of us, because I want us to see the fact exists that for many of us, there is a father-shaped hole in our life that needs to be filled. A hole that our biological father, perhaps our stepfather, didn't fill, at least in healthy ways. And so it still needs to be filled today in ways that bring healing and wholeness and health to our life. Now, that's the damage that can be done, but let me talk to you about the healing that can become, because, folks, that hole can be filled. And the way it can be filled is by God, and the way God wants to do it, believe it or not, is through the church, through a spiritual family. Now, I say that, and I don't know what comes to your mind watching online or sitting in this room when I say church. Maybe what comes to your mind is an institution. Maybe what comes to your mind is a building, an organization, services that seem irrelevant to your life and boring to attend. I mean, that was my definition as a young man when you said church. But whatever comes to your mind when I say the word church, I need you to understand that that was Jesus had so much more in mind than any of that when he gave birth to the church on the day of Pentecost. Because what Jesus envisioned on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus gave birth to the church, what he imagined was a place where people would love and be loved, serve and be served, know and be known. What Jesus imagined was a place where families could be strengthened and marriages could be healed and lives could be transformed. A place where the poor and the widow and the fatherless would be cared for. Because in that place, in that community, justice and mercy, equality and compassion would characterize the interactions, not only inside the church, but outside the church. In addition to all that, Jesus envisioned when he gave birth to the church a community committed to sharing the message, the only message and the only power that can truly alter the trajectory of an individual's life in eternity. And so what Jesus truly envisioned when he gave birth to the church was a place where his countercultural message of healing grace would not only be communicated, but more importantly, would be demonstrated. Which is why I would say to you this morning and stand before you saying without apology, nothing compares to the church. No organization, no business, no person, no possession, no pastime compares with the church because the church is at the very heart of God's plan for turning upside down lives and upside down homes and upside down marriages and upside down cultures and communities right side up again. Which makes the church the most important entity on this earth. For it is the one thing and the only thing that will last long before you and I are gone. And I'm not talking just a generation or two, but folks, I'm talking about all eternity. Because the church isn't some man-made organization, some man-made institution. It is the body of Christ. It is the family of God. And not just any family, folks. It is to be a functional, spiritual family that brings healing and wholeness and help to the wounds that you and I and we all carry in our lives. Sometimes wounds inflicted by our fathers. Which explains why, and I want you to notice there in the outline, it explains why, and this is just a small sampling, why we're told the following about how the church is to function, how it is to operate in the world. Let me just read it to you, and I'll just go down through the list. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Accept one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Strengthen one another. Forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Offer hospitality to one another, encourage one another, serve one another in love, honor one another above yourself, and of course, the one we all know, love one another. And folks, because the church is to function in that way, Peter wrote this, you should be like one big happy family full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. And why Paul added this, he said, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would your own father. Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Now, given that reality, what we need to understand is the main way that God wants to use the church to fill father-shaped holes in your life and mine, in the lives of the fatherless, is by having Christian men serve as spiritual fathers. In other words, Christian men who are willing to help others not only come to know Jesus, but then to go on and grow in that knowledge of Jesus as disciples and followers of Jesus, following the example that Paul gave us that Scott read earlier. I'll read it to you again. Paul wrote this about his own example. With each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God. And so God's plan for you and me for filling that father-shaped hole in our lives is for Christian men to not only be guides, but to model what it looks like to love and serve God in every facet of our life. And because Paul took that so deeply into his heart and into his life, I want you to notice what he told a group of Christians. He wrote this: even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And then Paul, writing to a friend by the name of Philemon, said this about a slave, a servant of Philemon. He says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. And so, man, here's what I want us to understand. One of the greatest responsibilities, and I would say privileges, we have as followers of Jesus is to become spiritual fathers. And not just to our own children, but to every fatherless teen and child and adult that God enables us to. And to help us see that, I just want to share with you three notes written by individuals who were helped when a godly man, a Christian man, allowed God to use him to fill that father-shaped hole in that person's life. Let me read you the first one. The woman writes this: I feel ashamed to admit to you or to anyone that I was raped when I was a teenager. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to confide that in my own father because he passed before I was able to summon the courage. I know now that I'm not at fault. However, hearing that assurance from you, a dad figure, holds so much weight. Only God can fill that void in my life. But he used you to help me to believe that truth. And then another woman wrote this: my father was a broken man, wounded from the scars of his life as a former Marine, a Vietnam veteran. He was haunted by demons he just could not escape. Due to those circumstances, I lost my father a long time ago. And I spent many years hurt over the lack of a strong father figure. And I saw the effects of that meted out in my life. Through you, God has met my need for a father-like spiritual leader. It may seem silly, because I've never met my father in person. But what a deep need it is for a young woman to have wholesome biblical guidance in her life. I cannot express in words how healing it is for me. God has used you to mend wounds I've lived with since childhood. And finally, a single mother of a young boy wrote this, a 7-year-old boy. As you may or may not know, my father's son places him at the bottom of his list of priorities, and his involvement with my son is minimal to non-existent. Last week, my son finally vocalized that he knows his father doesn't treat him the way a father should. In his journal in Sunday school, he summed it all up in a way that touched the teacher's heart, and she shared it with me. My son wrote, my father hates me and doesn't want to be a part of his family or my life. That's okay, because God is my real father, and he loves me. And he gave me John, Billy, Jonathan, and Michael to make sure I'm okay. And folks, let me tell you who those four men are. The four men serving, or were serving at that time, in children's ministry. And then she wrote this: that speaks volumes about what those men taught my 7-year-old son the past 3 years. In other words, they started teaching that young boy at 4. What a gift. As a single mom, there are things I just can't do for my son. But it's overwhelming to know that there are men in the church who will step up and help out in the areas I need it. Please know how thankful I truly am. Now, folks, I don't know what you are going to take away from those four notes, those three notes, but I want to tell you what I hope you take away. It's that God uses men, Christian men, to fill father-shaped holes in people's lives. That's part of his plan of redemption when we as biological fathers and stepfathers fall short. So men, if you walk with Jesus, can I challenge you to step up and be a father figure for fatherless boys and girls, teens and young adults? Because anytime you and I step into that hole, we fill that void out of love for Jesus. And we bring into their lives what only we can bring as men. It makes a difference. For many, it makes an eternal difference. And yes, I acknowledge, folks, for myself and for many of you, that must begin in our home. If we have children, if we have biological fathers, but it can't stop there. It must not stop there. Because we need to allow our Father's heart to spill out and to spill over and lead us to get involved in children's and teens and young adults' lives here and in the community. So that those boys, those girls, those teens, those young adults who need a healthy male model have one. And can I just say what we all know? Many, many teens and young adults and children need a healthy male role model, a spiritual role model. Because as we talked about a couple weeks ago, folks, those teens, those boys, those girls, those young adults need a healthy male Christian role model to help them answer the deepest questions of their lives. And if you weren't here, let me tell you what those questions are. Am I a man? What does it mean to be a man? Am I beautiful? Am I worth protecting? Am I valuable? Am I important? Do I matter? Is God real? Does God love me? And many of us sitting here, we know the answer to those questions, don't we? We know the answer is yes. That's God's answer to those children, those teens, those young adults. That's our answer to those children, teens, and young adults. But God's plan is to use men like ourselves to speak a clear yes into those fatherless boys and girls, young men and women's lives. But having said all that, I've spent a lot of time there, and Scott kind of foreshadowed this, but folks, it's not just children and teens that need to hear that yes. After being in the ministry for 30 years, I want to tell you, I have met many, many young adults and middle-aged adults and even senior adults who still are living with a father-shaped hole in their life. But having said that, I've also seen the difference that it can make in a man of 20 years of age or 30 years of age or 40 years of age or even 50 years of age to have a man whom he respects and perhaps even sees as some sort of a father figure in his life spend time with him, invest in him, believe in him. And I've also seen the same thing, the difference it makes in a young woman's life of 20, 30, 40, even 50 years of age who's had her self-esteem and her confidence shattered because of some tragedy in her life. But then to have an older man with a father's heart look at her and say, "You're amazing. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And so my wife and I want to walk alongside you as you fulfill God's purpose and plan and dream for your life." I've seen the difference it makes when we, as men of the church, become spiritual fathers. So guys, I want to challenge us. Let's step up. Let's meet the challenge. And not because the women of this church do not have an important and key role to play. They do. And as I said at the beginning, that is a whole nother sermon series and message series. But folks, I'm saying what I'm saying today and challenge us as men because far too often we forget the power and the importance of fathers, the impact and the difference we can make. And we often forget it doesn't matter how old we become, we never outgrow our need, our longing for a father figure in our life. And so can I just challenge us as a church family, along with being committed to loving one another and serving one another and encouraging one another and praying for one another and honoring one another, can we commit to fathering one another? Because the need for spiritual fathers is so real. And today, the need for spiritual fathers is so urgent. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me to pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment, I just want to say thank you so much for what we have been learning about ourselves and about your plan for our lives through this series, about your love for us, your compassion for us. But Father, I also want to say thank you for the way your words have been challenging us. And so Father, right now, without an apology, I pray that for every man listening to my voice who has a relationship with you, whether it's in this room or online, I pray that every man who's listening to my voice will even right now have your spirit prick his heart, challenge his heart, to the place that he will be willing to step up and to step out with a huge father heart for the fatherless, whether that's children or teens or young adults or middle-aged adults. But then, Father, it won't stop there. I pray that your spirit right now will be working in our hot lives, and we would be willing to say yes to pouring ourselves out wherever and whenever we are needed in ministry to children and to teens and to young adults and middle-aged adults and even senior adults in this church and in this church family. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, y'all, before we wrap up this morning, I just want to take a moment to say, first of all, thank you to the men that I think I could probably name by name who are currently serving in children's ministry and in youth ministry and are making time for young adults in their lives. And I know you know this, but I just want to reaffirm to you, because I know even in the ministry, sometimes I need to be reminded that you need to know that you are making a difference. In fact, I would suggest to you, based on 30 years of ministry, that you're making a bigger difference in the lives of boys and girls, teens and young adults, than you even suspect, and probably will only know when you get to eternity. And so I just say thank you. The second thing I want to say is I want to challenge those of us who are men to step up, to stand up, and to stand alongside those men, so that we together begin to deal with the negative, detrimental effects of this fatherless crisis in our country and in our world. We need to turn the tide. Because the statistics, and if you were here a couple weeks ago, you've seen them and I've shared them, and I won't repeat them, but folks, the statistics about the negative impacts and implications of fatherlessness in this country and in people's lives are startling and unsettling. And the more than statistics, what we're talking about, folks, is young men and women's lives, and not only their lives, but their legacy, how their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will parent and experience marriage and life because of how grandpa or great-grandma lived their life. So we need to make a difference. So, men, here's what I want you to do, and this isn't to put you on the spot, this isn't to embarrass you, but what I'm going to ask you to do, if you would, is to take out your Connect card, and if you're willing, to simply say, you know what, I'm willing to have a conversation about making a difference in the lives of young adults and teens and children, then I want you just to take that Connect card on the box, the very bottom on the back. It just says, I'd like to make a difference in kids ministry or youth ministry. I want to encourage you to check that. And again, all you're doing is saying, I'm open to a conversation about how God can use me. And can I be clear about something, guys? You don't have to be charismatic to do that. You don't have to be the life of the party. The reality is, some of the most impactful men in my life were not, by any stretch of the imagination, charismatic. What they were, though, were men that I knew cared about me and were invested in me. And all of us have that capacity. All of us have that capacity to love children and teens and young adults in that way. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're open to a conversation, I want you to take that Connect card and check the box. The second thing I want you to do is, between the services, I see Missy in the back, and I think Tina will be in there, but I want to encourage you as you head out of here to, if you are, your heart has been pricked, and it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit, then I want you to at least say, Missy, can we have a conversation? Can we set a time to just talk about how God might use who I am to be a spiritual father for boys and girls? Or catch Tina and say the same thing. Tina, can we just have a conversation? We just set a time to sit down and talk about how God could use me to make a difference in teen boys and girls' lives. Just to be transparent with you folks, there are skeletons that I carry in my life that I don't think had to be there if someone would have been a spiritual father to me. And folks, I want to challenge you. Some of the pain, some of the shame that you deal with doesn't have to be there for the next generation. If we as a congregation, we as men, will care enough to set our own agendas aside, our own preferences aside, our own insecurities aside, and say, I'm just going to show up and care about kids in the name of Jesus. Some of that baggage doesn't need to be carried from this generation forward, from this moment forward. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. And finally, I just want to say, and I mean it from my heart, as I always do, thank you for your giving. Those of you who regularly give tithes and offerings, because you do that, we not only are able to provide Sunday school, and we've got to find a better name sometime, but midweek programming and special events. Things like Hype Night and Fall Fest, Vacation Bible Schools right now, and Water Night coming up. All these events that we provide free of charge so that we can be about the process as a church family of helping fill that father hole, helping boys and girls come to know the love, the compassion, and the value that Jesus placed in their life. And so I want to say thank you for your giving, because those resources, more than anything else, are being used to leverage that incredible message, that transforming message of Jesus' reforming, transforming, healing grace in kids' lives. So I just want to say thank you. Next week, as I said, I want to invite you back. We're going to launch into this whole issue. I'm going to unpack more. I know some of you, that whole discussion about the sins of the Father really got you thinking, and we're going to begin to unpack that. I'm going to talk to you about what it means and what it doesn't mean. And then we're going to look, how can we, if we inherited something broken, damaging from our mothers or fathers or our grandmothers or our grandfathers, how we can break that cycle and how we can live free and how we can make sure our children and grandchildren can live in the freedom that Christ intended. Well, I'm going to ask you, if you would, let's bow our heads and I'm going to dismiss you in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to gather in this place and to deal with the hard subjects of life. I thank you for the fact that your word has specific guidance for us and healing words for us for these subjects. That you don't leave us floundering, wondering how to deal with these difficult subjects, but you tell us to bring our woundedness, to bring our hurts, to bring our pain and our shame before you into the community, and to allow you through and in that community to bring healing to our lives. So, Father, for those who I know in this church, they've shared it with me, have experienced healing because of the community of faith, because of your transforming grace. They've been able to forgive fathers and restored relationship with fathers. I thank you for that. And for those who are struggling, Father, still trying to get past that point in their life, I pray that you would use us as a church body, and specifically those of us who are Christian men, to help them fill that father hole in their life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.